Coming up on the podcast, we've got Jenny Corbett in Raleigh, North Carolina, talking about life tanks. Is that good?
Coming up, Jenny Corbett talking about life tanks.
Hey friends, and welcome to another episode of the Shoot Proof Podcast. We're so glad that we can provide these as a resource for our favorite people in the world, photographers. Today we're hanging out in Raleigh on the Shoot Proof Summer Tour with Jenny Corbett, which makes this our favorite podcast ever. Jenny has been a part of the Shoot Proof family from the very beginning. Her gorgeous photography and knack for client relationships stem from a heart for the sacredness of marriage. She's been shooting full-time for 7 years, and she's also the founder of For the Love Workshops. After years of working full throttle, she has recently discovered the importance of investing in oneself, and she's going to share some of that magic with us today. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Graham.
Thank you so much for having us here in your home in Raleigh, North Carolina. We really appreciate you welcoming us, and I'm really excited about getting to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you guys are here. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, of course. Well, one thing that I really admire about you is the way that you have been able to balance, and maybe balance isn't even the right word, but the way that life and work happen together in your life.
Yeah.
And it's something, I think that's something that people, especially photographers, have a hard time with. I know, yeah. I do. And so I want our conversation to go there. And maybe to start that conversation, could you tell me a little bit about you and kind of how you got into photography and kind of where you're at now, so we have a little bit of background?
Yeah, totally. Well, I first fell in love with photography when I was a kid.
Okay.
My dad dabbled in darkroom photography. And I remember there was this one print of a barn that he took, and it was super vintage, especially because it was taken in the 70s.
But, it was literally vintage.
Yeah, literally vintage. And I just remember, I don't know, at a very young age, having that like deep appreciation for the art.
Yeah.
And where most kids are worried about TV or going to the swimming pool, I just remember looking at that print of a barn and saying, my dad did that, and he captured that time.
Yeah.
So that's where the love started. And then whenever I was 16, I got my first film camera.
Okay.
And that's when I would leave school every day. I could not wait for school to finish so that I could then go and take pictures of barns myself or make multiple exposures. My favorite one was a black and white of a rose and a railroad. I was like, man, I'm so artsy. But I would just spend my time just playing with my film camera.
Yeah.
And then I fell in love with my husband at 16. Wow. The same year that I got my camera. Mm-hmm. And then we got married at 19. And so at that stage in my life, I ended up having to put photography on the back burner. I always thought it was that astronaut dream, like, you know, when you're a kid, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, I want to be a photographer, but that's like not a reality. So I guess I'll be a school teacher. Mm. So yeah, I turned 19, got married, and then I ended up I ended up getting a digital camera my senior year of college. Mm-hmm. I had a business proposition for my dad. I was kind of lying about it. I was like, Dad, if you just buy me this Canon, I think it's a XE1 or it's one of those Canon Rebels for $900, I'll make a business out of it.
Yeah.
And not thinking he would take the bait, he ended up taking the bait. And I was like, oh no, now I've got to make a business about it. So my senior year of college, I was working at a daycare, completely intending on being a teacher for the rest of my life and just having photography as a hobby. And I ended up getting this camera. And so I would ask these parents of these students. I was the teacher of a two-year-old classroom.
Okay.
Can I spend this Saturday photographing your kids for free? I just want to practice. And they're like, of course.
Right.
And I just remember going to the park. It was Green Spring Park in Greenville, North Carolina. And just laying on my belly. And everything's in program mode. I didn't know anything about like the logistics of photography. I just love capturing people. And so I'd make them laugh, and then I'd, you know, chase them around the park, taking all these candid pictures. And then whenever I showed the parents, they would just cry, because back then, this was like 2000, let me think, 2006 or so, Olin Mills was still really huge. Right. Nothing against it, but it was still very much studio was the expectation. And whenever they'd see their kids in motion or their kids like on eye level, they would just cry saying, man, you really captured my children. So that's when I fell in love with the people aspect of photography. And so let's take it back to 2007. I graduate college and I begin my first year of teaching as a fourth grade teacher.
Yeah.
And on the weekend, because I was so cheap, I was only $25 an hour for a sit-in fee. That was so bad. $25 an hour, I would spend literally all day Saturday photographing families. And I'd sell 4x6s for $1. It was like just so cheap, but I was so in love with learning this craft. And slowly the scales began to tip where I was so busy with photography that I ended up stumbling into a business. So that's kind of the start. It started with just like the astronaut dream of becoming a photographer. It probably won't ever happen, but let's just throw it out there. And I'll be a teacher for my whole life to, man, I'm a teacher. And now this astronaut dream is like, I'm spending all my time, extra time doing it. And then it was natural. I had to end up giving up teaching in order to fully be a photographer. So that's kind of a little bit of the backstory.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So... You know, you made that transition. Now you're running, you know, a photography business full time. And you've gotten to this place, I'm sure. I'm just making assumptions here, but you've gotten to this place where, you know, life is busy. You know, there's a danger in the amount of work that comes along with a successful business of any kind, right? So I wonder, you know, with that struggle, that again, I think we all experience at some point, right? How have you managed to, you know, keep your life tank on full, you know, so to speak, which is, you know, an analogy that you gave me. I'm just curious as to how you've done that.
So, let's pick up where I was a teacher. And my day looked like this. I would get to school at 6 and then I'd leave school at 8 when the janitor would come in and say, hey, you got to go, Miss Corbett. And then I'd go home. I'd cook my husband hamburger helper. I'm not ashamed. Hamburger helper. And then around 9 o'clock, I would go back and edit till 1 in the morning, go to sleep, do it all again. And then all day Saturday, all day Sunday, I was shooting. And this was a process that I found after about 2 years was not sustainable. I eventually, unfortunately, whenever I switched to full-time photography, it was one of those hobbies that I was so passionate about and just so in love with, I was so afraid to fail at it, that I ended up making it my sole priority. So Shane, my husband, he kind of became secondary to this dream that I now was able to live as a full-time photographer. And so even as a full-time photographer, I would shoot very much and edit very long and not have much to give to family, to friends, to husbands. And I realized, holy cow, I am empty. Like I'm starting to get depressed and stuff because I don't have any way out of this. And that leads me to about, I want to say 2012. I'm pretty bad with years, but around 2012, I realized, hold on. If I want to live a sustainable business, I've got to find a way to like really hone in my workflow. And so I started a workshop called Renew. And that was an amazing workshop that I took to North Carolina and to Texas. And before I launched the workshop, I really worked on chipping down or creating a system. So automated emails, automated workflow, all these things so that I could be free from my computer. And I taught those classes. It was awesome, changed my life, but I still was empty because I didn't bring balance. Like I freed myself up time-wise, but I still didn't have Shane as my priority, family and friends as my priority. And that leads me to, I think, September 2013. I created a workshop years ago, a side note, called For the Love, and it's a Christian retreat for photographers in nature. But in September, I finally came to the end of myself of I had a good system, but I was still really depleted. And at For the Love, that's when I found out a couple of treasures that have changed my life forever. One of the teachers, Melissa, she shared about how what the world needs, and I'll never forget this, this was my favorite thing, what the world needs is people who are fully alive. And in the midst of me being, or like coming up with a flow that freed me from my computer, that was all great, but I still wasn't living fully alive. And so there at that workshop at For the Love in Tennessee, I'll never forget, she encouraged us to make a list of all the things that make you become fully alive. And I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so it's coffee, music. Let's see, what else? I have my husband, adventures, and all these things that I had put on a back burner while I was building a business. But now through this talk, I realize, no, this is really important to like do the things you love and do them really well. So after For the Love, I made that list and I began to like really partake in the joy of living. And from that, like, I've just become really alive and really passionate about having balance, you know, between work and life. And it really even fuels how now I have a purpose. Like, I'm going to work really well today so that I can go to the pool with my best friend. You know, it's like, and it's not that I'm being a bad business owner. It's actually really fueling my business and fueling me as a person to like really have this joy of living that has really affected my wedding photography business. Last night I just had dinner with one of my grooms and his wife, not just my groom, but it was his birthday party, let's clarify. But he has been such a champion of like really seeing me and seeing what I'm passionate about. And he's like, Jenny, you have taught me to just live, to like fully live. And man, if I can make that type of impact on just my clients, not only just like capture their love, which is so huge, but also influence them to like, dude, cherish your wife, cherish life. Like, what do you love to do? Get out and do it. And I feel like I'm leaving like a really good footprint for the world, you know?
Yeah. I agree. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So in this whole process, to me, it sounds like, you know, there have been times where you've kind of had to put your foot down and say, okay, there is not a boundary that exists for this particular thing yet, but I'm going to draw one.
Yeah. Right?
I'm going to create a boundary. Could you share maybe some specific examples of when that happened and what those boundaries were that kind of came out of those situations?
Totally. So let's think. With boundaries, what really changed my life with setting those, because I'm kind of a free bird by nature.
Yeah,
I hate rules. I hate feeling locked into a system. Yep. There are a lot of photographers that I love and admire who are up at 6 a.m. They, you know, they really have like this flow that really makes them come alive. But for me, rules somewhat make me want to rebel.
Yeah,
sure. I'm just kind of a rebel. But I did see that I learned through this study, a friend shared this with me. They did a study of boundaries. What it looked like was there was a, I don't remember what grade, but it was these students. One day they let them out onto the playground without a fence, thinking that these kids would play all over, like run through the fields, all those things. But when they let them out without the fence, they all huddled in the middle. And they didn't actually use more of the land. They just kind of just played together in the middle of the field. But then the next day they added a fence and the kids like completely fully used all of the playground.
Yeah.
And that analogy or that study really awakened me to the fact that boundaries actually are life-giving. They show you where you stop and where you end. And through that you can do things really well. And it's actually not a prison to have boundaries. It's actually like liberating. So for me, I mentioned earlier that my husband wasn't my priority in the first couple years of my business, unfortunately. And that began to suffer. And so one of my first boundaries, number one, was with Shane. Like at 5 o'clock when he gets home from work, even though I don't have to have normal hours, I'm done with work. There's no more emails. There's no more calling on the phone. Every once in a while, we'll meet with a client in the afternoon. But I always tell those clients that, hey, just out of respect for my husband, I really try to be home for him. Mm-hmm. And that brought a ton of balance. I no longer was working till 4 a.m. Just whenever I would know that at 5:00, no matter what, I'm done so that I can be home with my husband. So that's one of the boundaries that I set that has brought me a lot of life.
Yeah.
Another was not shooting on Sundays. I used to have a hard time telling clients, like, I can't do this, because sometimes they're like, but I only have
it's
the only day. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've just shot a wedding. I have nothing to give you. Mm. It's actually out of love for them that I can't give you the same amount of creativity and passion in your engagement shoot on a Sunday that I can on a Monday or Tuesday. Yeah. So now Sundays are off limits. Sorry, I can't do it. It's for your benefit. It's not for mine. I want you to have a great session. And on Sundays, I'm pretty much empty. We call it the wedding hangover.
Yes.
Where in the fall, you're watching football, nothing else.
Right.
So that was another boundary that has brought me a lot of life.
Hmm. So with the boundaries that you set in your business, I know, when you set boundaries, sometimes that means that you're not doing something that you were doing before. We hear a lot about outsourcing, and the kind of the power that has to get us our life back. So can you give us maybe an example of, a way that, outsourcing has been beneficial to your business?
Yeah, totally. I had to go and revisit the parts of photography that just takes the most of my time. And for me, I can get personally very lost in the basic editing of tweaking white balances and magentas and greens. And I love that stuff, but it would take so long. So luckily, a couple of years ago, I found Shoot.edit. And now I outsource all of my wedding editing to them. And they do just all the basics. And then I still run an action over top of it to make it look like mine. But they've been a huge key in freeing me up to do some of the things that I love.
Yeah.
So they're great.
That's cool. And you said, frees me up to do the things that I love. Can you maybe share with us a little bit about, now that you've made these changes, right? How have you been able, what things that you love have you been able to do more of? And how has it changed your life to set boundaries around your business?
Absolutely. Yeah, so in Tennessee, when I made that list of ways that can make me come fully alive, on that list was, again, coffee. And so for a while there, I started roasting my own coffee.
Oh, wow.
And that was, it was a lot of time, but it was just really fun for me to do that. And then music, I love going to concerts. So now I just about once every month will go to a live concert and just really savor that experience.
Yeah.
I now make it a huge priority to adventure with Shane. Before I had the freedom and the flexibility to go all over the country with my friends, but I would leave Shane at home because he only has limited number of vacation days.
Yeah.
But now every year, that's like our number one, what is our adventure? And so this year, in a couple weeks, we're going to Montana.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. And that's really fun. And then I'm really fortunate with For the Love to have some really close friends that we do some adventures as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just girls trips. So yeah, lots of traveling because that's huge. And coffee and music. And this summer, I like to go and visit. I'll go in the afternoon as my little reward for a full day's of work. I might go to the pool for a day. Little simple things.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to learn to enjoy life like on a huge, grand scheme of Montana and doing all these adventures. But I'm also learning how to enjoy life here at home, and do things like in my community. Because for a season there, I got lost in the grandiose of the photography world. And how can I savor and how can I love life? Here in my house. And so the pool, that's just a small thing, but I go and do that every once in a while, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
So that's really fun. And out of that, I can tell when I need to, when the scales are getting out of balance, I'll start craving adventure or something huge. And then I revisit my list and say, wait a minute, I'm doing a whole lot of work and not quite as much time spent filling up my life tank. And mm-hmm. so anyway, I'll go and pluck from the list. Like, I think it's time for a concert. So yeah. I'll go to a concert and then it'll bring back the balance and it all is right in this world. And
yeah,
I've just learned to really live like, well, I'd like to say live fully alive, but also just learn to enjoy life every day.
I love that you use that, that desire for the things that make you come alive as kind of a barometer, you know.
Yeah.
It's you can constantly kind of check, you know, how am I feeling right now? You know, do I feel like I'm needing these things? And if I'm needing these things, it probably means that I'm doing something else instead of them.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool perspective. I like that.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, we're rolling out this new tagline at ShootProof that we're really excited about because we feel like it encompasses kind of what we're all about and really what our photographers are all about. And the tagline is focus on what matters most. So we're curious to know, you know, what matters most to you and how what you do, the things that you do to stay focused on that.
Yeah. I feel like it's naturally come up a lot in this conversation, yeah. but I feel like I've, especially now, Shane is my number one priority.
Yeah.
My family, that's what matters most to me. And that also helps me to do the other things that we've talked about, set boundaries, to work really smart. Yeah. As long as I keep him as my goal of our marriage at the top, then everything just kind of falls in line. And also feel like I'm really focused on work and I get everything done that I need to so that I can be with him.
Yeah.
And so that's what matters most to me, for sure.
Cool. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for, again, for welcoming us into your house and for spending some time to talk with us. If people want to find out more about you, where can they go to do that?
Yeah, totally. They can just check out my website, JennyCorbett.com. Instagram is just Jenny Corbett, and Facebook's just Jenny Corbett. So keep
cool.
it pretty
that's
simple.
That's pretty easy.
Just come find me online and connect.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Graham, for coming.
Awesome. Okay. Well, a huge thank you to Jenny for hanging out with us. We just want to remind you guys that ShootProof believes in community, and that's what this podcast is for. We hope that this serves as a resource for our community. If there's anything that we could do better, feel free to drop us an email at podcast@shootproof.com. And if you want to find out more about ShootProof, you can do that at www.shootproof.com. We love photographers, and we love getting to help you focus on what matters most. Music for the ShootProof podcast is provided by Triple Scoop Music.